We're going to move right into our message for this morning, love one another. And as many of you know, we started this love one another series because God has told us that the greatest command is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. So it's important to God, so it should be important to us. Also, if that's the greatest command, then not to do it would be probably the greatest sin. And so it would be important for us to do it. Plus, he tells us that we're to love one another. And as we do, his love is made complete in us. And so loving one another is incredibly important. And when you look at how God loved us, sometimes you can get discouraged, especially when you think of the fact that in some ways we're to love one another like Jesus. And yet, when you think of it, aside from some basic similarities, like Jesus had 2 feet, and most of us have 2 feet, and he had 2 eyes, and we have 2 eyes, and aside from a few similarities, there's not much similar between us and Jesus, is there? Because you think how he loved leaving heaven, coming to die for us on a cross, and you think, how on earth could I ever love like that? So when the Bible tells us that we are like Jesus, what on earth could it mean? That's what we'll find out this morning in 1 John 4, 13 through 21. If you would turn there on in your Bible, whether that's on some app on your phone or a device that you brought, or whether it is in the Bible in the rack in front of you. If it is the Bible in the rack in front of you, that's page 988. 988, and we'd like you to turn there to 1 John 4, 13 through 21, because we would like you to follow along with us as Greg leads us in reading 1 John 4, 13 through 21.
This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Thank you, Greg. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask your help again to make sense of what can at first be very confusing, intimidating, and at first thought impossible. So we pray this morning that you would work in our hearts and in our minds, so that we might understand and so that we might be able to love one another a little bit better than we do. Help us to do this because of what you do in us and through us right here in these next few moments, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Loving one another like Jesus. An impossible thought. It starts actually in 1 John 4:12, which is the verse just before the one Greg started with. It's the one we ended with last week. And verse 12 is tied very tightly to verse 13. It was a convenient place to break, but we really can't move into 13 unless we understand 12 just a little bit. 12 says, no one has ever seen God. Nobody's put eyeballs on him. He's not visible. But if we love one another, if we're loving one another with a love from God, that's what leads into verse 12, God lives in us. And it's not that, okay, if we love one another, God will come to live in us. That's not what's being said. What's being said is, if we love one another, that's a telltale. In other words, that's the indicator that God lives in us. And his love is made complete in us. So if in the church we're loving one another and caring for one another, it's an indicator that God lives in us. And as we love one another, his love is made complete. It comes to a completeness as each of us does our part to love the others. The fullness of God gets expressed in his church and even outside of his church in his community. That's what this is saying. This, and it could be meaning this pointing back to what we've just read in 12, but in this case, the NIV has chosen, and I think rightly, that it's pointing forward. This is how we know. This is how we just know day by day in our lives, moment by moment. This is how we know that we live and have a lifestyle of living in him and he in us. Notice this again. It was very clear in verse 12 that we live, God is in us. If we love one another, God is in us. And very clear here, this is how we know that we live in him and he lives in us. He has given us of his Spirit. His Holy Spirit is there. And it's said in an interesting way. He has given us of or out of his Spirit. It's being emphasized here that when we came to Christ, when this happened, when we and Jesus got to know each other, this is another way, another telltale, if you will, that he's in us and we're in him. He's given us his Spirit. He's given out of his Spirit. We actually participate in it. We partake in it. He's there in a very unique way. He lives in us. And this is how we know that he lives in us and we live in him. It's because of his Spirit, which he has given us. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Who this word, the word we, who that refers to is of great debate. Is this we meaning just the apostles? We have seen, John is saying, and we testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And there's many that think that it's just referring to those apostles because they're the ones that did see him, put eyeballs on Jesus, and they're testifying about what they have seen, and they're testifying that it was the Father who sent him and that he is the Savior of the world. It could be translated that way, or it could be interpreted that way. There are many who believe that the we refers to we all, right here. Everybody who's heard, everybody who's responded, everybody who is loving one another, indicating that God lives in us. Everyone who has the Spirit living in them, again, indicating that God lives in them. That's the we being referred to. Part of the reason people think that is because the word we, when it's used all the way from verse 3 of chapter 4, all the way through the chapter, refers to we all. and yet we didn't see Christ. We've not seen him. And yet in verse 12, what was very clear is even though we haven't seen with these eyes, if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The implication is we've seen God. We've seen it because we've seen him because we've seen his love living in us, made complete in us. It's indicating that that's happened. And so we've seen him. And we all then are testifying that the Father has sent the Son because we've seen him, not with these eyeballs, but because we've seen his love cut loose in and among us. And so we testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whatever nationality, whatever race, whatever gender, whatever sin, whatever wickedness, whatever failure, this Son is the Savior. He's the one. So whether we take this as the apostles have seen this and they're testifying that this is true, okay, or you and I have seen this and part of what we do is we testify that this is true, one would say that the apostles already did this and that's what they're doing through this writing. The other would say this puts a burden of some sort or a command of some sort or, you know, an implied command on us that we ought to be going and testifying to this. Either way, what it comes down to is in the next verse. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, the Father has sent the Son, and whoever acknowledges that the Son is God, that Jesus is that Son of God, that Jesus is the one that came from heaven, that Jesus is the one born of a virgin, that Jesus is the one who lived a sinless life, that Jesus is the one who went to the cross, that Jesus is the one to provide for salvation for you and me, that Jesus is the one that was raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of God. Anyone who acknowledges this Jesus, notice again, God lives in them. This is the third time in three verses we've seen this. God lives in them, and they live in God. There is this reciprocal abiding, us in him, he in us, that occurs for those who love one another. God lives in them. For those in whom the Spirit dwells, God lives in them and they in him. For those who acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know. We know. It's not talking here about a no in your mind, in your head. We know. It's not talking about that cognitive ability to grasp or understand, although that would be included. It's not left out. But there is a knowing that's slightly different, involves the mind, but it involves more than that. You just know. We know. And we rely on, we're dependent on this fact, on the love that God has for us. We're dependent on that, and we know that. God is love. Whoever lives in love, catch this again, don't miss it, lives in God and God in them. Fourth time in four verses. So John is trying to tell us something here. So all of this is, we come to know God. We come to rely on him. He is love. And whoever lives in love, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. So what we've had, just to summarize, this is so important. How do we know we live in God and God lives in us? Well, if we love one another, that's one of the signs that indicates that God lives in us. To love in the kind of love that God is talking about, indicates that God lives in us. We love one another like that. Also, this is how we know that we live in Him. It's outright telling us, and He in us. He's given us His Spirit. So if His Spirit lives in us, and we know that He lives in us, this again is indicative that He lives in us. We live in Him. We have His Spirit. He's given Him to us. If anyone acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God, God lives in them. They live in God. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. These are all indicators that God lives in us and we in Him. And again, the union being talked about here, the tightness, the oneness between God and us. This is what makes people believers. This is what enables them to love. This is what enables them to do what they do. Critical to understanding what we're about to see. This is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Okay, this is going to be really important. This is how love is made complete among us so that on that day when we face God, when we face our holy and righteous judge, we will be confident in His presence. Whatever that is, I want to know that. Whatever that means, I want in on it. I want to know what the completeness of that love looks like, and we're told that the completeness of that love, it comes to that kind of completeness because in this world we are like Jesus. In this world we are like Jesus. And it's like, wait a minute, what? I'm not like Jesus in the way He loved. I'm just not. I mean, I get up every morning, and especially during this five-week series, I would wake up every morning and I would be praying, oh God, help me, help me, help me. Help me to love one another. Help me to love the people in my life that You've put there today. Help me to do that better. Help me to take that one step. Help me to be willing to lay down my life, my interests, my whatever. Help me to do that. And I would pray for a long time, help me. And then I would throw back the covers and my feet would hit the floor and all bets were off, right? Because, right, the Jeannie and I have to relate together. And I have those little grandkids and they come over. And then I have, you know, sons and daughters-in-law and moms and dads and neighbors and everybody wants something a little different and a little this and a little that. And it was real easy to fail in loving them. So what in the world does this mean that I'm like Jesus? Because when I look at me and I look at Jesus, I can see a whole lot of difference. So I'll try and do it in these pictures again. Jesus, perfect. He is light. He is love, because God is love. And as John has said before in the Gospel of John and in 1 John, that God is in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. God lives in Christ. And Jesus told us clearly that He was in God. So God was in Christ, and Christ was in God. God in all His fullness dwelt in Christ, Colossians. He was the image of the invisible God, Hebrews 1. The fullness of God dwelt in Christ. And in Christ, He expressed the love of God perfectly. He thought about the love of God perfectly, and He expressed it perfectly. In you and me, there's a distinct difference. When we're born into darkness. But when we acknowledge Jesus, when the Spirit of God enters us, When we live in the love of God, the love which is God, when we love one another with and in the love of God, when we do that, and all of that is a sign that what? That God is in us and we are in Him. The fullness of God through the presence of the Holy Spirit lives in us. We are in God and He is in us. When Christ was on this earth, God was in Christ and Christ was in God. Now that we have given our lives to Him, God is in us and we are in God. Christ is in us, we are in Christ. And this, in particular, is what that verse means when it talks about the fact that in this world, we are like Jesus. The fullness of God lived in Christ, and the fullness of God lives in us. We don't act like Jesus. We think strange compared to living in the light. We behave strangely, sinfully, in terms of living in the light. As we live longer and love better, we move from still being in Christ and Christ in us, still being in Him and He in us, that is for sure. And we actually begin to believe what it looks like to love one another. And we actually begin to do it. Not in the perfection of Christ. We're not like Him in that way. In fact, depending on who you are or what you're like, your behaviors, they'll fall far short of the perfect behavior of Christ. In fact, your behaviors might land you in jail consistently. That doesn't matter. The way that you're like Christ is that God is in you and you are in Him. And if you acknowledge that Jesus is God's Son, if His Spirit lives within you, if you are loving others with this love, if you are living in the love of God, that is what makes you like Jesus in this world. As we grow in our relationship with Christ, we start to believe even more what is true in us, and we are in sync or in step with the Spirit. We are walking with the Spirit in what we think and what we behave, but never perfectly. One day we'll get there. One day not only will God be in us and we in God, but we will think perfectly and believe perfectly, and we will behave perfectly. That day is coming when we will no longer even be able to sin, when we won't be able to even contemplate what it means to sin. Now, we will not be God. There are some religions that teach that. That's Mormonism, by the way. We will not be God or become God, because you and I didn't come from heaven. You and I didn't create the universe. You and I didn't die on a cross. You and I didn't redeem anyone's soul. You and I didn't do any of that. That belongs to Christ, the one, the only begotten of God. That's Him. But we will be like Him in sinlessness, in love, in holiness, not only because He lives in us and we live in Him like He does right now, but on that day, we will be like Him because we think like Him perfectly and we act like Him perfectly, holy, righteously. That day is coming. That's a good day, by the way. But what is being told us in this verse is that in this world we are like Jesus. When Jesus was in this world, God was in him and he was in God. And for those who acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, those in whom the Spirit of God dwells, those who live in love, those who are loving one another with this love of God, what this is saying is that we are like Jesus. Those are indicators that we are like Jesus in this world, in that God is in us, because we couldn't love like this without him, and we are in him, just as Jesus was in God and God was in him. In this world, we are like Jesus. And the result of being like Jesus in this world is that on that day when we face our righteous and perfect and holy judge, we will have confidence. There will be no fear, because there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. The perfect love being talked about here is the love of God. That's the only perfect love that exists. The love of God, the love of Christ. And in that perfect love, in the completeness of it, the totality of it, the perfection, the pureness of it, in the presence of that love, every fear is driven out. There is no fear of death. Not in the presence of that love. There is no fear of judgment. Not in the presence of that love. There is no fear for those who have acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God, who have invited the Spirit to live in them, who live in love, and who love others. There is no fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And for those who are in Christ, that punishment was paid on the cross, and your sin is forgiven, and you are holy and perfect, and you are safe in that love. That is why there is no fear of punishment. And the ones who fear punishment, they're not made perfect in love. So who would that look like, you say? I have some friends, they're very religious people. They do a lot of religious stuff. But I'm pretty sure they don't know Jesus. They have this innate sense, it's inside them. They have this thing, they kind of know they're going to face a judgment. They know they're going to face God. They know they're going to answer for their lives. They just have this thing. And the way they try and deal with it is by doing religious things. And what I mean by that is they'll like wear certain things. They'll wear certain necklaces, right? Because that's like a religious thing to do. So they do that, hoping, fearfully, that they'll be okay with God. I know some, they just go to their church every day. And they'll recite prayers, incantations, do readings, you know, whatever it is, they'll do that, all in hopes that on that day they'll be okay, but they're really kind of not sure. They'll just do a lot of religious stuff. They'll light all kinds of candles all kinds of times. They'll give all kinds of money. They'll do all that stuff. There is a fear of that day that exists in their soul. They are not made perfect in love. They're not. Those who are made perfect in love are those who acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, that the Spirit lives in them, who live in love, and who actually love one another. For those people, there's no fear. Not in that judgment day. Not that they'll be punished. That's because they exist in the perfect love of God in Christ. We love in this godlike way because he first loved us. don't think that this like started with you, that you thought this up or that your love initiated this. All this love that we're being talked about is the love of God, and he got it in his mind long before creation. And he loved us, and because he loves us and enabled us to think and acknowledge his Son and receive his Spirit because of his great love for us, that's the love with which we love. He first loved us. So whoever would claim that they love God, I love God, day in, day out, God, me, God, we're tight, we love, and yet you hate, notice this, a, singular, one, brother or sister, is a liar. If you claim that you love God, and yet you live a lifestyle of hate towards a brother or sister, even one who has wronged you, even one who has hurt you, one who has offended you, and you live a lifestyle of hate toward them, you're a liar. You do not love God. Why? Because the love of God in them, it may be well concealed because their thinking is warped. It may be well concealed because they like live strange or sinfully, right? And they're still breaking out of that. It may be, but if Christ Jesus lives in them and they are in him and he is in you and you are in him, you cannot hate a brother or sister. And if you do, you're lying about the fact that you love God. For whoever does not love their brother or sister and sister whom they have seen, people right here, cannot love God. They cannot love God whom they have not seen. It's just impossible because God lives in them. He lives in you. And if you hate who God loves, something's wrong. You can't love God. It's impossible. And besides, he has given us this command. And if we love him, we obey him. John's very clear about that. We love him, we obey him. And what is the command? Anyone who loves God, that's the life trajectory, must also love, life trajectory, their brother and sister. So if it isn't happening because God lives in you and you're just cooperating with God to love especially brothers and sisters, then there's this command. And if you're not doing it, that's a sign that you don't love God, because if you do love God, you obey his commands. So this is where this leaves us, friends. It leaves us where there may be some of you who have not acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God and invited his Spirit to live in you. And if that describes you, you can take care of that right now, and we would urge you to do that. Because when he lives in you, a whole new thing begins to happen in you. You live in him, he lives in you, and he begins to move through your thinking, your mind, your thoughts, and your actions day by day. Day by day. And so we would invite you to say yes to Jesus. To say yes to this one who loves you so much that he died for you. We would invite you to say, please forgive me. Please live inside me. Please help me to love like you're talking about. We just invite you. For those of us who have been Christians for a while, our challenge is to love one another just a little bit better than we currently do. That's been the whole focus of this series, to love one another, to actually hands on, feet on the ground, serving, caring, loving people with flesh and bones that are in our lives just a little bit better than we do now. And it's hard to do for a number of reasons. But we can. We can. And the reason we can is because in this world, right now, we are like Jesus. God is in us, and we are in Him. And because that is true, we can love each other a little bit better than we currently do. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatness of your love for us. We thank you for the magnificence of a love that would send a son to die for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that through faith in Jesus, we can acknowledge that He is your Son and that your Spirit can live within us and that you can be in us and we can be in you. We thank you so much for that, because in that truth there is hope. There is hope that when we face that punishment, that judge, we don't have to worry about it. We're good. In that kind of love, we can love one another. And the fullness of the love of God can be made complete in us and in this church and in this community. We thank you for all of this, Father. We pray that you'll help us to believe that you are in us and we are in you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will continually help us to love one another. We ask that, Lord Jesus, for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of our church, and for the sake of our community. We ask this of you. Amen. So this week, friends, no more devotionals, right? They're not coming your way. It's not a memory verse. That's not coming your way either. For those of you that have been journaling, at least for the purposes of this last 5 weeks, you don't have to keep journaling. Although if you like to reflect on what God is doing in your life and you want to keep writing, I'd encourage you to do so. But there is still this command, friends. There is still this command that anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And so what we're hoping is that as a result of these last 5 weeks, that has just come to the forefront of your head and your mind and your thoughts, and you've been able to cooperate with God just a little bit better, to love one another just a little bit better than you do. And even though there's not devotionals, and even though there's not a memory verse, and even though the journal thing, we're not doing that anymore, unless you choose to by yourself, even though those aren't happening, my prayer, our prayer, is that you will continue, that your ability to love one another has taken a step up and that it won't go back down. And that you will continue to love one another at a higher level, a higher plane for the foreseeable future until we do another Love One Another series in some way, shape, or form to help us take another step. And the reason that I know that you can do this, even though we may not be focused on it like we have been for the next 5 weeks, the reason is because for those of you who believe, you are like Jesus. And that love for others never ends. And He will be working in you to help you. Even though this series ends, He will be working in you to help you to love one another in days to come a little bit better than you currently do. And if that happens, that is a wonderful thing for this church, for the friends on your prayer card, and for this community. So, in the name of Jesus, love one another. See you next week.